This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Now 2-1 the count, and this one sent deep to left field. It's fair, and it's gone. It's a 3-run shot for Ryan Mountcastle. Speaking of potent offense, this one launched to center field and gone. That one made it to the WestJet flight deck on a 2-run bomb.
Yeah, I just got a couple good pitches to hit today and, you know, tried to just drive in the runs and did. And, you know, great win for the team.
It was a no-doubter. That's what that was. Just wouldn't know how far it was going to go. You know, he's got huge, huge power to all fields. He's in a good spot right now.
Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob and Vinny today, still with my guy Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Send in your favorite female artist or band songs to the text line. Nolan will take care of the rest. That audio you just heard courtesy of Blue Jays Radio Network. Orioles, they take game 2 of this series out in Toronto. 10-1 last night. Just a complete beatdown of the Toronto Blue Jays. Domination in all phases from the Orioles last night. And I feel like we have been kind of looking for some of these complete games from the Orioles. And look, we've gotten a couple of these games here recently from this team that's just been on fire. 10-2 in their last 12 games. This is a team that has just been running through the AL East still, although they're still 2.5 games behind the red hot Yankees, who are on a 6-game winning streak in their own right now. But that's just kind of letting you know the competition at the top of this division. But the Orioles, they took care of business in a big way last night in Toronto. The bats were out for sure. Corbin Burnes, lights out performance from him last night. Let's start with him. He improves to 6-2 on the year now. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 5 strikeouts, 1 walk. Pure domination from Corbin Burnes. And it's been a few times this year where Corbin Burnes has kind of had to use a lot of pitches early, and because of that, he's not able to really go deep into games. But you're watching him here recently, and I don't want to make it sound like he's just now starting to look like an ace, because he's not. He's been dominant for the Orioles all year. 2.26 ERA, that's good for 8th in Major League Baseball right now. 1.02 WHIP, you know, that's top 20 in the league as well. But you look at it, his last 2 starts, he was able to go 7 innings in both of those games. He did give up the 1 earned run last night off the solo shot. In his last start against the Red Sox, didn't give up anything. 5 strikeouts in both of his last 2 outings. He had 6 strikeouts the start before the Boston one against Chicago, and 11 strikeouts against Seattle the start before that. So clearly, this is a guy that's in a rhythm. And oh, it helps when you're getting run support. I mean, I think any pitcher out there will tell you that they'll take 10 runs. So Corbin Burnes, he kind of set the tone last night with what he was able to do on the mound. Completely shut down Toronto, held him to 5 hits, just the 1 run on the solo shot. Great night from your starter. And that's exactly what the Orioles need, considering the stretch that they're on right now and going to be on for the rest of the month of June. 1 off day. You've got a couple of starters that are on the IL right now. You've got you're hoping to get at least one of them back before the end of the month. You don't know what's going on with Kyle Bradish right now, who's not starting tomorrow. They're making it seem like it's nothing to see here, but we're all kind of on pins and needles when it comes to Kyle Bradish, and we'll talk about him a little bit in the next segment. So you need guys like Corbin Burns and really anybody that starts on the mound for the Orioles right now to kind of go deep into these games, because you don't want to wear out your bullpen. And the bullpen, they were flawless last night. Jacob Webb and Nick Vespi, they both come in, give a scoreless inning each, dominant performance from both of those guys. So let's go to the lineup, because the offense is really what you want to talk about with this game. And before I even get to the good stuff, I, of course, it seems like every time I come in here to do this show, the umpires do something to kind of tick me off the day before. And last night, I'm watching the Orioles game, and I see James McCann at the plate. He does what he always does, what any other batter does. He takes a swing at a ball. Kowser, he's still second. He's safe. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing Kowser's face look puzzled on the screen because I'm not seeing the umpire give any gestures. I just see Kowser's face look puzzled. And then they go to the home plate, and he's calling McCann out. For whatever reason. And it took me a while because, you know, I got a one-year-old. So at times he's louder than anything else that's going on in the house at the time. So I'm not able to kind of hear the volume, what's going on the TV. So eventually I get around to being able to hear what's going on, and they're calling him out for interference. And I'm watching the replay over and over. And I just, for the life of me, don't know what James McCann is supposed to do besides, out of nowhere, grow eyes in the back of his head and know that the catcher is trying to throw in the direction that he's in. If anything, I feel like the catcher went into him. So Brandon Hyde, of course, comes out and he's arguing the umpire down. And you know, I had to laugh because as this happening, I'm thinking to myself, like, when's the last time somebody argued with the umpire and got their call reversed? Like, what is the ultimate goal? Obviously, it's to get your frustration off and get your points off and say what you want to say. But it's just like you're going into it knowing that the call isn't going to change. It's just a funny dynamic. So I kind of got a chuckle out of that to myself, because Brandon Hyde and James McCann were out there talking to the home plate umpire for what felt like 10 minutes. I mean, they were out there for a while. And ultimately, they go back to the dugout. Nothing happens. But from there, a lot of good happens. Ryan Mountcastle continues to own the Toronto Blue Jays. Two home runs on the night, five RBIs. It's just like clockwork. You know what you're going to get from Ryan Mountcastle every time he's either in Toronto or Toronto comes to Baltimore. And Blue Jays manager John Schneider, he had some things to say in terms of how the Blue Jays pitched Ryan Mountcastle last night.
You know, first one's a hanging curveball that good hitters hit the way he did. I mean, it was 92 off the bat, but still, it's good hitters hit that. And then he hits a fastball at the top of the zone, 440 feet. You know, he's a good hitter, you know. So, again, it comes down to executing. And if you're throwing in the middle of the zone hoping for a good result, it's probably not going to happen against Ryan Mountcastle or against me if I'm hitting there. You know what I mean? So you have to execute.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. And clearly the Blue Jays weren't. It was a bullpen game for them, so they probably knew that they were in some sort of trouble against a red-hot lineup like the Orioles right now, because the Orioles are raking. They're in the midst of a tear offensively right now. And they took advantage of every pitcher the Blue Jays put on the mound last night. So it's good to see Ryan Mountcastle stay hot, continue to torture the Blue Jays the way that he did. And look, not just him. What about Austin Hayes, who's waking up right now? Austin Hayes, another hit last night, seems to be getting in a rhythm. He had the two home runs the other night. And you watch Austin Hayes, he's playing with a lot of confidence right now, a lot of confidence. You look to that game the other night when he's hitting those home runs and he's giving you a little bit of that Sammy Sosa lean after he hits the ball. I like the confidence that I'm seeing from Austin Hayes right now. And you can tell, you know, he's turning the corner. I went to the game on Sunday afternoon before the Orioles left town, and he had a couple of good at-bats even in that game as well. And I remember telling another media member, and it was after he got out. It was after a play where he was out. But I told him, I was like, man, it really looks like Hayes is turning the corner right now. And that clearly seems to be the case. So that's good for him. And Connor Norby, of course, got to talk about him, gets not only his first hit, but his first hit is a home run as well. So good showing for him. Gets his home run in his second outing. And to be honest, look, I know it's only two games, but watching Norby, I don't get a lot of rookie vibes from him. He seems to be able to play the part. He looks decent enough in second base. He looks like he has some composure at the plate. I'm excited about the kid, so it was good to see him get that home run as well. Nolan, what did you take away from just this offensive onslaught from the Orioles last night?
Well, yesterday on the show, I proposed the question to Bob, and it wasn't an earth-shattering question, but saying, when do we start thinking about extending Ryan Mountcastle? Mm-hmm. And now, obviously, you know his history against the Blue Jays, and particularly playing in Toronto, so I wasn't stunned that he went out there and did that last night. But he had great defensive plays in the game as well, yeah. The two home runs. I mean, is there a more fitting nickname than the Mountie in all of sports, right, given what he does north of the border? I mean, I seriously think you have to consider locking this guy up long term. There is the debate, the guys that are in the minors behind mm-hmm. him. You're weighing what you have there or what you think you have there versus what you know you have in Mountcastle. And I think it's getting to a point where I'm willing to lock in on Mountcastle. Even if the guys behind him are as good or better, I'll find a spot for him. But I know what I got at first base, and I like it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And it's funny because his name is, over the last few years, is kind of like a tug-of-war situation. Like, there have been stints where people have said, look, at some point the Orioles are going to have to trade Ryan Mountcastle. At some point, you know, you got to look at shopping this guy. And usually it's when he's, you know, at a down spurt right now. You know, it's not when he's raking the way that he is now. But when he's on, and I tweeted this last night, you know, the Orioles are a different team when Ryan Mountcastle is on. The proof is in the pudding. It's not just against Toronto. In general, when this dude is on fire offensively, this is a tough team to beat. But the reason that I would kind of endorse extending Ryan Mountcastle is because of his defense. Like, you have seen the development, the constant development with him as a defensive first baseman. And just what he gives you on both sides now, I just don't. And then you factor in his chemistry with the clubhouse, the fact that he's a homegrown talent, the fact that he's well-liked. I mean, he's a tower of a man. I like everything about Ryan Mountcastle. I wouldn't be able to give a reason to not extend him right now.
He's become a complete player, like you said. I mean, as a rookie, there were great flashes, 30 mm-hmm. home runs, but at that time, it seemed like, all right, he's kind of positionless, maybe a DH guy. We have to have a young guy as our DH, but not the end of the world, but he really appeared to be a strikeout or home run guy.
Yeah.
And now, even with the left field wall changes, he could still be, in my opinion, a 25 home run guy, which would be great considering the ballpark he plays in for half of his games. And some people might say that he's a little streaky. I don't really think so. I mean, I think the only thing that's led to any sort of downswing for him has been injury related.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's anything chronic, or he's not injury prone.
Right.
The vertigo thing.
Right, that's just a freak situation.
You know, who knows? And that was the only thing that slowed down his season mm-hmm. last year. He was on fire before that. Then it got him out of whack. He came back. He was on fire after he finally came back. Had a shoulder issue as well. But, I mean, he's done nothing but improve throughout his career. His strikeout rate is down. Walk rate could probably be a little bit better. But, like I said, he is a complete player now.
And not many people. Look, to your point, I don't know if he'll be a 30 home run guy again. I don't know if that's in him, but I don't think he has to be. This is a team that's one of the best, if not the best, at getting home runs right now anyway. So you've got plenty of pop in this lineup. You don't need Ryan Mountcastle to be the 30 home run guy because, look, you've got Gunnar Henderson at the top of your lineup who might end up, when it's all said and done this season, leading the league in home runs. So we'll see what happens, but this is a complete lineup when they're functioning the way that they are right now offensively. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it going with the Orioles talk. No Kyle Bradish on the mound for the Orioles today. He was supposed to take the ball for the Orioles. Brandon Hyde and those guys are saying nothing to see here, but are you concerned about Kyle Bradish? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Yeah. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Vinny and Bob today. Still with Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock on this cloudy Woman Crush Wednesday here in Charm City. Send in your favorite female artist or band songs to the text line. Nolan, he'll take care of the rest from there. We're talking Orioles baseball right now. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. Kyle Bradish. Kyle Bradish is a guy that got his season started off late due to injury, and it's kind of been a wait-and-see situation since he's been back. And honestly, it's been a pleasant surprise with Kyle Bradish during the course of this season since he's returned. Up until Saturday, when he took on the Tampa Bay Rays, only went 2 2/3, gave up 7 hits, 5 earned runs in that span, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts on 76 pitches. So not a good outing, and you're always concerned when you see a guy like him who had been dominant, really, through his first 5 starts up until Saturday. And to add more fuel to the fire, he's supposed to start tonight, but that's no longer happening. Albert Suarez, he's going to start in place of Kyle Bradish today. And Brandon Hyde, he said that they're also considering giving Bradish an extra rest day as well. So his next start is kind of TBA right now. And Brandon Hyde was asked yesterday if he has any concerns about Bradish health-wise. And this is from Steve Molesky, of course, from Masson. That covers the Orioles, does a great job. And Steve has here a quote from Brandon Hyde. No, but we're considering giving him an extra day of rest or two, just kind of from how he is feeling. But we are just monitoring it daily. So we are keeping that TBA right now. So it's not great, you know, and you kind of got to take them at their word right now that they're just using this as a precautionary measure. But considering how we were feeling, I can only speak for myself. So considering how I was feeling about Kyle Bradish coming into the season, and even with him getting off to a great start, looking great in those 5 games, I'm constantly holding my breath. I don't know what to expect. And while I'm trying to remain positive throughout all this time and, you know, not kind of wait for something bad to happen, it's, with what's happening to pitchers in general in baseball, it's just tough not to hold your breath with any of these guys when they take the mound. And let alone a guy like Kyle Bradish, who had injury concerns coming into the season. So, yeah, I am a little concerned right now. I am. Because, sure, we can sit here today and say that it's just precautionary and they're trying to give him a couple of days, and then you just don't know what's around the corner. Like, Nolan, how are you feeling about this? Do you feel like this is something that should be concerned about, or are you kind of taking them at their word that we're just giving him an extra day or two?
No, I mean, didn't they do the same thing with Grayson mm-hmm. earlier this year, if I'm not mistaken, a little extra rest for one of your young pitchers? I don't have a problem with it. You want this guy here for the long haul. You want him to finish the season. You do have a daunting month ahead, and you'd like your best pitchers out there, but I don't see too much of an issue with it. He's not missing a full turn.
Right.
You know, it's just an extra day or two. So if he was missing a full turn and you have to fill that spot entirely, then that's a different conversation. But to me, this is, you know, just a very mild inconvenience.
And see, like, it's not necessarily the fact that they're giving him a rest day. And maybe for me, if he didn't have the outing that he had on Saturday, I would probably feel the same way. Like, it's nothing to see here. Really, it is. You know, maybe they are just giving him an off day. But it's the fact that he looked so bad on Saturday, such a short outing, and then his very next start, he's not able to make it. That's the only thing that's concerning for me. But yeah, the rest part, I'm all for that. If that's the way that they want to play this the rest of the year, and maybe give him an extra day or two, maybe like every other turn in the rotation or something like that, whatever they come up with, I'm perfectly fine with it. Whatever it takes to keep him available the whole year. I'm hoping there's nothing to see here. And like I said, I think it's just really the last time I saw him, he didn't look good. So I'm just skeptical.
Right, and you're right about that last start, and I can't remember the last time he had a start where he looked that off.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have, all right, you give up four or five runs early in a game, but, I mean, he couldn't even get the ball over the plate.
Right.
Command was way out of whack in a way that I haven't seen from him in a long time. So, yeah, I mean, there are some concerns with that. Maybe they thought he was overextending himself at a certain point. You get a couple innings into that game, maybe he's doing too much, overexerting himself, just trying to get out of that funk. So that could be a part of it.
And that's kind of the thing with young guys, especially these guys who are, you know, have World Series aspirations. You've got Corbin Burnes here. This rotation, when they're healthy, they are legit. And so, you know, you and then when you see two guys in the rotation who are already, you know, on the IL anyway, but now you see that they're gone for the year, speaking of Means and Wells, it's kind of a dire situation. It's kind of like an all-hands-on-deck situation right now for all of these Orioles pitchers. Anybody that can needs to go. So I could definitely see that being a part of it. So I'm hoping for the best with Bradish. I'm really hoping that it turns out to just kind of be a situation of what they're saying, that they're just giving him an extra day or two of rest, and he's back out there, and he's looking like himself again. That's really what I'm hoping for. Coming up next, we'll get to your phone calls. 410-583-1057 is the number. If you want to jump in, you want to talk some Orioles. We've been talking Orioles to this point. Want to talk some Ravens. I've been out at OTAs. I'll give a little bit of my OTA observations, and we'll hear some audio from some of the guys later on in the show as well. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. That's next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Vinny and Bob. Still with Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to join in the fun. Let's grab a couple of calls right now. Let's start with Tom and Rising Sun. Tom, you're on The Fan.
Good morning, Mr. Woodland. How you doing?
Not bad. What's going on?
I'd like to start off by saying great time to be in Birdland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see the fans come back. I've been going to games since 75, and I just love being out there, whether they're good, bad, you know, great, as they are right now. I've seen it all up and down, and it's really good. But when you talk about arguing with umpires, it's a mind game. I know you're correct. They're never going to change that call. They're not, because I was an umpire-in-chief and also manage a bunch of teams. But you got to go out there and you got to let him know, and you put that doubt in his mind, and you may get a call later as a makeup call, especially with balls and strikes. I've seen umpires, even in the major leagues, change their strike zone once a manager goes out there and says something. So that's why they do it. I mean, it's basically a mind game. It's basically, you know, and like I said, you're right. They're not going to change the call, but it's part of the game.
Yeah, no doubt. And I appreciate the call, Tom. And you're right. I mean, they've got to, if nothing else, you got to go out there and plead your case. You got to go defend your guy. I mean, in a situation like that, I had no problem with Brandon Hyde going out there and arguing on behalf of McCann, because McCann is already arguing anyway. So really, Hyde's going out there to kind of save himself from getting his catcher tossed because, oh, by the way, his other catcher is the DH. So they couldn't afford for Ryan McCann to be tossed out of that game. So Brandon Hyde had a variety of reasons as to why he needed to go out there and argue that call. And you're right. You're not going to get that call changed, but it's about making, you know, future investments. It's about getting that umpire to at least give you a makeup call or maybe start paying attention to whatever it is that you're arguing about at the time. And look, selfishly, I love when managers go out there and argue with umpires. I want to see it. It's just one of the things that I love about the game of baseball. Some of my favorite things are going back to watch like mic'd up managers or mic'd up umpires when they're getting into it with these guys or when they're tossing guys. I love that type of stuff. So you never know what type of gold is going to come out of it when a manager goes out there and argues with an umpire. Look, I was coaching my nephew's Pop Warner team last year. I was the offensive coordinator. I was arguing with them refs. You definitely, yes, I was. I was arguing with them because I'm hoping, just like you said, to get something later on. That's just how I am, though. I mean, I just don't have much tolerance for referees these days in general. So sorry to those refs that I was arguing down. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, you're on the fan.
Hey, good morning, man.
What's going on?
Ain't not much. I hope the Bradish thing, man, ain't nothing serious, man, because yeah. I hope we don't see no news later on talking about he needs surgery, he's going to be out, something like that, man. We can't afford to lose him right. at all, you know, because he did. That was very unlike him, that last outing, mm-hmm. you know. So we shall see, though. But, hey, something I brought up on the morning show yesterday, right, about Jackson Holliday. It's like it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be this superstar and this great, you know, this great player. What if Connor Norby is really the guy? And, you think we should try to capitalize on the trade value Holliday has right now? Because, you know, teams are offering us, you know, a king's ransom for him right now.
Yeah.
And because, if you look at their numbers in the AAA, they're similar. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Holliday is not really, you know, doing too much more than Norby is doing. And Norby can play second base and everything. I know he had a home run last night. You know, he went, 0-for-5 before that.
Right.
But I think, you know, like, they just so sold on Holliday, man. And I'm not saying he's going to be a bust or he might wind up being a great player, man. But I think he has most trade value out of all of them guys, you know, out of Norby, that Heston's, and whoever else down there, the Mayos and everything like that, man. So you think that's a possibility or they just seem like they're so scared of his father, too, man. Like, letting his father control the narrative, you know. They seem like his father, you know, was pushing the issue of him getting called up and, you know, and then you see how that worked out right. the first time around, man. But what would you think of that possibility?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Rashawn. I mean, I'm not on the wave of trading Jackson Holliday yet. I mean, the kid is 20 years old. I don't think what he's been able to do, minus, you know, regardless of him having a bad stint in his first opportunity here at the major leagues, I can't allow that sample to overshadow everything else that I have seen from Jackson Holliday as he's risen through the ranks of minor leagues. And I get it. Connor Norby is, you know, the hot guy right now. But and I hear you on, you know, them having similar numbers in AAA. Norby's kind of got the experience, though. I mean, we're talking about Jackson Holliday being a 20-year-old guy. Norby's, I think, 25, 26 right now, something like that, or somewhere in that range of 24, actually, I believe. Actually, he'll be 24 in 3 days on the 8th. So, I mean, it's tough. I mean, Norby has only given us 2 games so far at this level. We really don't know what he's going to be. I'm just not to the point yet where I'm ready to throw in the towel on Jackson Holliday. And I'll agree that he's got the trade value right now. No doubt about that. I mean, I don't think there's a team in Major League Baseball that wouldn't take Jackson Holliday. And you're going to get something good back in return for him. I just don't think that that's what's going to happen right now. I mean, have you changed your feelings at all on Jackson Holliday, Nolan, even with Norby right now, or just even with the, I guess if you want to call his first stint up here at the major league level a failure, whatever you want to look at it, did that impact how you feel about Jackson right now.
No, not at all. I mean, he's not alone in that. You've got a lot of other prospects that have come up for the Orioles in recent years that have slumped in their early goings as a major leaguer. Now, you know, you look at what Adley did after he hit that triple in his debut. He slumped.
Mm-hmm.
Gunner, to start last year,
right,
was rough. But Jackson was a tad worse than both of them.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Gunner still walked. Adley's still productive.
It was bad.
Jackson was the worst of the three. But again, like the other two, I fully expect him to rebound and be the guy that he's supposed to be, to live up to all that hype and that potential.
Yeah, I still think it's there. I feel like if we were to ask Mike Elias behind closed doors, off the record, never gets out, what his, you know, have his feelings changed on Jackson? I think he'd say no. You know, and it's not like he's stinking it up in AAA right now. I mean, he's actually been all right here as of late. So I don't think it's a situation to where anybody is, you know, running around like he's a failure now. Like this is that he's no longer viewed as a guy that could still be a special player. And I think baseball, like we talked about Ryan Mountcastle and his continuous development earlier in the show. You look at a guy like Jorge Mateo and how he's developed over the years. Baseball is weird, man. It's like you team in sports like football and basketball, you're not necessarily given the true time to develop anymore. It's kind of like you've got to be great immediately. Whereas baseball seems to be the one major sport where you do have the room to grow, and guys' development rates truly are different. Some guys develop extremely fast. And then even in baseball, the game is so weird that you could have, kind of like Jackson, that quick development spurt, and then out of nowhere, you just hit a stalemate. You hit a stalemate, and maybe you're at that, you just hit that wall for a little minute before you get back on the right path. I just think this sport really emphasizes patience more than any other major sport.
With that being said, I feel like the Orioles are almost burdened by their riches, mm-hmm, at this point.
Definitely.
That, you know, the sport,
definitely,
of baseball, like you said, is unique compared to other professional sports. The Orioles' situation within baseball is unlike any other team because they have all of these great prospects, yep, and they don't have room for them.
Right.
So you get an opportunity because of an injury. It's going to be brief. Mateo will be back, we think, soon.
Hopefully.
Right. And he deserves to slot right back in based on what he was doing,
right,
prior to the concussion. So Norby gets an opportunity only because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
If that didn't happen, he's not up here.
Right.
And it's not a discredit to him because he was tearing it up in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not alone. Heston Kerstad. Others.
Yep.
You know, Kobe Mayo, before he got hurt, he could have been a candidate to come up. So it's such a weird situation. There's no precedent for this, at least that I can think of, that Mike Elias in the front office can look at and say, all right, here's our blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this team did. This is how they navigated it. They're just going day by day at this point.
You usually see these types of, it, like, it's one or the other. You know, it's not usually both, where you have this surplus of young talent, but also, you know, this type of talent on your major league roster to where you're a legit contender. It's real. Everybody says it's a good problem to have, and in theory, it is. But I wonder if you're Mike Elias, how much do you feel like it's? I mean, I'm sure he thinks it's a good problem because it could be worse. It could be what it was when he got the job, you know. So nobody's going to argue with having talent, but when you've got to make pivotal decisions off of that, and then, you know, like I said, patience is a big part of this game. Look, you had so many of your veterans that you've counted on for years get off to terrible starts, flat out terrible starts, which leads the cry for you to call up some of these younger guys who honestly may or may not be ready. What they're doing in AAA does not obviously guarantee that they'll be able to do that at this level. So it puts pressure on decisions that you wouldn't necessarily have to make if it was one or the other. To the Mateo thing, since we're talking about weird, that was weird. I mean, That was just a freak situation, and as bad as I felt for Mateo having that happen for him, getting hit in the head with a bat, I mean, that just is pretty bad. I felt I don't want to say worse, but I felt almost equally as bad for Cedric Mullins, who was just like, my God, can I do anything right now? Granted, he went on to make a fantastic play in center field, but in terms of what he's doing with the bat. I mean, he just seems to not be doing anything right with the bat these days. So I just thought that was just a freak situation, but just a terrible time for it to happen for a guy like Cedric Mullins.
Right. You just hope it doesn't completely derail what Mateo was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to his credit, he's been throughout his entire career hopping around multiple teams, playing different roles within his time with the Orioles. He's been very flexible. So you give him credit for that. But he was playing extremely well, offensively,
yep,
but defensively. Mm-hmm. And that was another factor with the Holiday thing, that slumping at the plate clearly, but not looking very comfortable in the field either. And Mateo gives you both.
And he's learned, like you said, he's learning that position on the fly, whereas Norby, Norby's a right-handed bat too. This offensive lineup needs some right-handed power. And he's already comfortable with that position. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it'll turn into a situation when Mateo's ready that all of a sudden he can't get his spot back. Brandon Hyde has shown when he has his guys and Mateo's one of his guys, they'll be in there. So I don't think that'll be a problem. Coming up next here, we'll switch gears. Let's talk some Ravens. I've been out at OTAs. We'll talk a little bit about what I've seen at OTAs. Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner, he'll join us at 11 to talk some Ravens as well. Maybe a little Orioles because he's out there also. That's next here on The Fan. Yeah, now we're getting into the cookout music phase of Woman Crush Wednesday. I'm all for this. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the boys today. Bob will be back tomorrow. Still here with my guy, Quick Draw McGraw. Coming up next at 11 o'clock, Kyle Goon. He covers the Orioles and the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He'll join us. Talk a little bit about both of those teams right now. But currently we're looking at the Ravens. OTAs are going on. Let's get this out of the way. Lamar Jackson, he was back at practice yesterday. I think that was his second practice during the OTA stint. And look, I know there have been people that have been kind of upset about Lamar's.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Vinny and Bob. Still with Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to join in the fun. Let's grab a couple of calls right now. Let's start with Tom and Rising Sun. Tom, you're on The Fan.
Good morning, Mr. Woodland. How you doing?
Not bad. What's going on?
I like to start off by saying, great time to be in Birdland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see the fans come back. I've been going to games since 75, and I just love being out there, whether they're good, bad, great, as they are right now. I've seen it all up and down, and it's really good. But when we talk about arguing with umpires, it's a mind game. I know you're correct. They're never going to change that call. They're not, because I was an umpire-in-chief. And also manage a bunch of teams. But you got to go out there and you got to let him know, and you put that doubt in his mind, and you may get a call later as a makeup call, especially with balls and strikes. I've seen umpires, even in the major leagues, change their strike zone once a manager goes out there and says something. So that's why they do it. I mean, it's basically a mind game. It's basically, and like I said, you're right. They're not going to change the call, but it's part of the game.
Yeah, no doubt. And I appreciate the call, Tom. And you're right. I mean, they've got, if nothing else, you got to go out there and plead your case. You got to go defend your guy. I mean, in a situation like that, I had no problem with Brandon Hyde going out there and arguing on behalf of McCann, because McCann is already arguing anyway. So really, Hyde's going out there to kind of save himself from getting his catcher tossed because, oh, by the way, his other catcher is the DH. So they couldn't afford for Ryan McCann to be tossed out of that game. So Brandon Hyde had a variety of reasons as to why he needed to go out there and argue that call. And you're right. You're not going to get that call changed, but it's about making, you know, future investments. It's about getting that umpire to at least give you a makeup call or maybe start paying attention to whatever it is that you're arguing about at the time. And look, selfishly, I love when managers go out there and argue with umpires. I want to see it. It's just one of the things that I love about the game of baseball. Some of my favorite things are going back to watch like mic'd up managers or mic'd up umpires when they're getting into it with these guys or when they're tossing guys. I love that type of stuff. So you never know what type of gold is going to come out of it when a manager goes out there and argues with an umpire. Look, I was coaching my nephew's Pop Warner team last year. I was the offensive coordinator. I was arguing with them refs. You definitely, yes, I was. I was arguing with them because I'm hoping, just like you said, to get something later on. That's just how I am, though. I mean, I just don't have much tolerance for referees these days in general. So sorry to those refs that I was arguing down. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. Rashawn, you're on the fan.
Hey, good morning, man.
What's going on?
Ain't not much. I hope the Bradish thing, man, ain't nothing serious, man, because yeah. I hope we don't see no news later on talking about he needs surgery, he's going to be out, something like that, man. We can't afford to lose him right. at all, you know, because he did. That was very unlike him, that last outing, mm-hmm. you know. So we shall see, though. But, hey, something I brought up on the morning show yesterday, right, about Jackson Holliday. It's like it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be the superstar and this great, you know, this great player. What if Connor Norby is really the guy? And, you think we should try to capitalize on the trade value Holliday has right now? Because, you know, teams are offering us, you know, a king's ransom for him right now.
Yeah.
And because, if you look at their numbers in the AAA, they're similar. Like, mm-hmm. you know, Holliday is not really, you know, doing too much more than Norby is doing. And Norby can play second base and everything. I know he had a home run last night. You know, he went, 0-for-5 before that.
Right.
But I think, you know, like, they just so sold on Holliday, man. And I'm not saying he's going to be a bust, or he might wind up being a great player, man. But I think he has most trade value out of all of them guys, you know, out of Norby, that Heston's, and whoever else down there, the Mayos and everything like that, man. So you think that's a possibility, or they just seem like they're so scared of his father, too, man. Like, letting his father control the narrative, you know. They seem like his father, you know, was pushing the issue of him getting called up, and, you know, and then you see how that worked out right. the first time around, man. But what would you think of that possibility?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Rashawn. I mean, I'm not on the wave of trading Jackson Holliday yet. I mean, the kid is 20 years old. I don't think what he's been able to do, minus, you know, regardless of him having a bad stint in his first opportunity here at the major leagues, I can't allow that sample to overshadow everything else that I have seen from Jackson Holliday as he's risen through the ranks of minor leagues. And I get it. Connor Norby is, you know, the hot guy right now. But and I hear you on, you know, them having similar numbers in AAA. Norby's kind of got the experience, though. I mean, we're talking about Jackson Holliday being a 20-year-old guy. Norby's, I think, 25, 26 right now, something like that, or somewhere in that range of 24, actually, I believe. Actually, he'll be 24 in 3 days on the 8th. So, I mean, this is it's tough. I mean, Norby has only given us 2 games so far at this level. We really don't know what he's going to be. I'm just not to the point yet where I'm ready to throw in the towel on Jackson Holliday. And I'll agree that he's got the trade value right now. No doubt about that. I mean, I don't think there's a team in Major League Baseball that wouldn't take Jackson Holliday. And you're going to get something good back in return for him. I just don't think that that's what's going to happen right now. I mean, Have you changed your feelings at all on Jackson Holliday, Nolan, even with Norby right now, or just even with the, I guess if you want to call his first stint up here at the major league level a failure, whatever you want to look at it, did that impact how you feel about Jackson right now?
No, not at all. I mean, he's not alone in that. You've got a lot of other prospects that have come up for the Orioles in recent years that have slumped in their early goings as a major leaguer. Now, you know, you look at what Adley did after he hit that triple in his debut. He slumped.
Mm-hmm.
Gunner, to start last year,
right,
was rough. But Jackson was a tad worse than both of them.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Gunner still walked. Adley's still productive.
It was bad.
Jackson was the worst of the three. But again, like the other two, I fully expect him to rebound and be the guy that he's supposed to be, to live up to all that hype and that potential.
Yeah, I still think it's there. I feel like if we were to ask Mike Elias behind closed doors, off the record, never gets out, what his, you know, have his feelings changed on Jackson? I think he'd say no. You know, and it's not like he's stinking it up in AAA right now. I mean, he's actually been all right here as of late. So I don't think it's a situation to where anybody is, you know, running around like he's a failure now. Like this is that he's no longer viewed as a guy that could still be a special player. And I think baseball, like we talked about Ryan Mountcastle and his continuous development earlier in the show. You look at a guy like Jorge Mateo and how he's developed over the years. Baseball is weird, man. It's like you in sports like football and basketball, you're not necessarily given the true time to develop anymore. It's kind of like you've got to be great immediately, whereas baseball seems to be the one major sport where you do have the room to grow, and guys' development rates truly are different. Some guys develop extremely fast. And then even in baseball, the game is so weird that you could have, kind of like Jackson, that quick development spurt, and then out of nowhere, you just hit a stalemate. You hit a stalemate, and maybe you're at that, you just hit that wall for a little minute before you get back on the right path. I just think this sport really emphasizes patience more than any other major sport.
With that being said, I feel like the Orioles are almost burdened by their riches,
mm-hmm,
at this point.
Definitely.
That, you know, the sport,
definitely,
of baseball, like you said, is unique compared to other professional sports. The Orioles' situation within baseball is unlike any other team because they have all of these great prospects,
yep,
and they don't have room for them.
Right.
So you get an opportunity because of an injury. It's going to be brief. Mateo will be back, we think, soon.
Hopefully.
Right. And he deserves to slot right back in based on what he was doing,
right,
prior to the concussion. So Norby gets an opportunity only because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
If that didn't happen, he's not up here.
Right.
And it's not a discredit to him because he was tearing it up in AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not alone. Heston Kerstad. Others.
Yep.
You know, Kobe Mayo before he got hurt. He could have been a candidate to come up. So it's such a weird situation. There's no precedent for this, at least that I can think of, that Mike Elias in the front office can look at and say, all right, here's our blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
This is what this team did. This is how they navigated it. They're just going day by day at this point.
You usually see these types of, it, like, it's one or the other. You know, it's not usually both, where you have this surplus of young talent, but also, you know, this type of talent on your major league roster to where you're a legit contender. It's real. Everybody says it's a good problem to have, and in theory, it is. But I wonder if you're Mike Elias, how much do you feel like it's? I mean, I'm sure he thinks it's a good problem because it could be worse. It could be what it was when he got the job, you know. So nobody's going to argue with having talent, but when you've got to make pivotal decisions off of that, and then, you know, like I said, patience is a big part of this game. Look, you had so many of your veterans that you've counted on for years get off to terrible starts, flat out terrible starts, which leads the cry for you to call up some of these younger guys who honestly may or may not be ready. What they're doing in AAA does not obviously guarantee that they'll be able to do that at this level. So it puts pressure on decisions that you wouldn't necessarily have to make if it was one or the other. To the Mateo thing, since we're talking about weird, that was weird. I mean, That was just a freak situation, and as bad as I felt for Mateo having that happen for him, getting hit in the head with a bat, I mean, that just is pretty bad. I felt just I don't want to say worse, but I felt almost equally as bad for Cedric Mullins, who was just like, my God, can I do anything right? Now, granted, he went on to make a fantastic play in center field, but in terms of what he's doing with the bat, I mean, he just seems to not be doing anything right with the bat these days. So I just thought that was just a freak situation, but just a terrible time for it to happen for a guy like Cedric Mullins.
Right, you just hope it doesn't completely derail what Mateo was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And to his credit, he's been throughout his entire career hopping around multiple teams, playing different roles within his time with the Orioles. He's been very flexible, so you give him credit for that. But he was playing extremely well, offensively,
yep,
but defensively. Mm-hmm. And that was another factor with the Holiday thing, that slumping at the plate clearly, but not looking very comfortable in the field either, and Mateo gives you both.
And he's learned, like you said, I mean, he's learning that position on the fly, whereas Norby, you know, Norby's a right-handed bat too. This offense lineup needs some right-handed power. And he's already comfortable with that position. So we'll see what happens. I don't think it'll turn into a situation when Mateo's ready that all of a sudden he can't get his spot back. Brandon Hyde has shown when he has his guys and Mateo's one of his guys, they'll be in there. So I don't think that'll be a problem. Coming up next here, we'll switch gears. Let's talk some Ravens. I've been out at OTAs. We'll talk a little bit about what I've seen at OTAs. Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner, he'll join us at 11 to talk some Ravens as well. Maybe a little Orioles because he's out there also. That's next here on The Fan. Yeah, now we're getting into the cookout music phase of Woman Crush Wednesday. I'm all for this. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the boys today. Bob will be back tomorrow. Still here with my guy, Quick Draw McGraw. Coming up next at 11 o'clock, Kyle Goon. He covers the Orioles and the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He'll join us. Talk a little bit about both of those teams right now. But currently we're looking at the Ravens. OTAs are going on. Let's get this out of the way. Lamar Jackson, he was back at practice yesterday. I think that was his second practice during the OTA stint. And look, I know there have been people that have been kind of upset about Lamar's attendance numbers during OTAs. And I'm not here to tell anybody how they should feel about that. Me personally, I stick to the word voluntary. It's voluntary. And I don't get caught up in attendance in this time of year. For certain guys, especially, I'm just not moved. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lose sleep over a two-time MVP, reigning MVP, for missing voluntary practices in May. I'm not going to lose sleep over a guy like Derrick Henry for missing voluntary practices in the month of May. I'm not losing sleep over Justin Madubuike, who's coming off the best year of his career, for missing voluntary practices in the month of May. I'm just not. I'm sorry. Because when we get to September, when we get to October, when we get to the dog days of the season in November and December and into the playoffs in January, I can't ever name a time where we went back and talked about what guys did or didn't do in the month of May and how that contributed to what they did in the course of the season. Now, what I will do is acknowledge the optics of it all. Sure, it doesn't look good that the face of your franchise isn't at these workouts because he's the leader. He sets the tone. And to be honest with you, when Lamar's not there, the quarterback play has been pitiful. It's been downright pitiful. I feel bad for the receivers and even for the DBs. It's like, how much stock can you put into what you're doing when you know you're not going up against competent quarterback play, or at least quarterback play for this level? So I hear all that, but I'm sorry, optics don't win you championships. And I don't believe showing up to OTAs or not showing up to OTAs is the end-all be-all when it comes to reaching your final goal. I just don't. This is the time of year where, you know, It's not a lot going on anyway. They're not in pads. They didn't even have helmets on yesterday. And I don't want to discount what you get from showing up to OTAs. Like, I understand what all goes into the game of football. I understand that as much as you can be there, you should. But I also understand that just because guys aren't at OTAs doesn't mean they're not working. I don't think that because Lamar's not at OTAs that he's sitting at home getting fat on the couch. Clearly, he's not getting fat. Clearly. I don't think just because Derrick Henry's not at OTAs that, you know, he's not in some sort of capacity working on his game. And look, even if he's not, if he decided to take a family vacation, it's May. Why? Like, I'm just not moved by that. I just wanted to get that part out of the way. Other than that, OTAs have kind of just been what it is. You're getting a look right now at some of the new guys. That's kind of what I get out of OTAs. I want to see some of the guys I haven't seen before. So obviously that means some of the rookies. Tez Walker, he made a couple of plays yesterday. It was good to see him because he's a guy that I feel like, and when you talk about this rookie class, he has an avenue to kind of be one of those instant contributors. And I'm not talking about being what Zay Flowers was for the Ravens last year. No, when I say instant contributor, I mean having an instant role. And his role could be to be that guy to take the top off the defense on schedule. On schedule is the pivotal part that I want to mention because I think the Ravens passing game in general, if they want to take that next step, the on schedule passing game is going to be a big part of that. So I think Tez Walker has an avenue to give them kind of what they're missing with their receiving core and taking the top off the defense on a consistent basis. I like what I'm seeing from Nate Wiggins. His size is a little worrisome, but at corner, it doesn't bother me. He's got the speed. He has good hands. He's learning. TJ Tampa, I like his physicality as well at the corner position. He's got the body size to be able to play that way. So I'm curious to see what type of preseason he has because I think he could be the guy to kind of throw a wrench into the plans for this DB room. He's kind of the wild card in my mind going into the preseason. The offensive line, it's just tough to get a really good look at a lot of those guys. They're not in pads. They're not doing a lot right now. It's not a lot of contact that they want them to have in the trenches right now. So I kind of like to wait until the pads are on to start really paying attention to those guys. But what I am looking for is just, are you in shape? Like, can you handle what's going on? And yesterday was a tough day for a guy like Daniel Faalele. It just was tough for him to just stay engaged and to stay on his feet, to be quite honest. So obviously it's getting to summertime, it's getting hotter, it's getting humid. So that I'm sure is something that he's battling. He's a big guy. But that's kind of what I'm looking for when I look at the trenches. Trenton Simpson, we got to talk to him yesterday. He's a fantastic speaker, got a good head on his shoulders, seems very mature. He's playing fast. I like what I've seen so far, but if you've listened to me going back to last season, you know I've been kind of skeptical that Trenton Simpson is going to have the impact that a lot of people think that he will. I don't know. I mean, Patrick Queen turned out to be a three-down linebacker last season. Is Trenton Simpson going to be that for the Ravens this year? We'll see, but OTAs is kind of just surface level stuff right now. And they've got one more tomorrow before mandatory minicamp starts next week. So we're starting to ramp it up here and get a better look at this year's Baltimore Ravens team. Coming up next here, my guy Kyle Goon, he covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He's been out at OTAs. We'll talk to him about a little bit of what he's seen to this point. What is his thoughts on whether or not OTA should even still be a thing going forward? Maybe we'll talk some Orioles with him as well, as he's out at Camden Yards from time to time. How does he feel about this red hot Orioles team? We'll talk to him about all that and more next here on The Fan. Yeah, now we're getting into the cookout music phase of Woman Crush Wednesday. I'm all for this. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the boys today. Bob will be back tomorrow. Still here with my guy, Quick Draw McGraw. Coming up next at 11 o'clock, Kyle Goon. He covers the Orioles and the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He'll join us. Talk a little bit about both of those teams right now. But currently, we're looking at the Ravens. OTAs are going on. Let's get this out of the way. Lamar Jackson, he was back at practice yesterday. I think this is his. That was his second practice during the OTA stint. And look, I know there have been people that are that have been kind of upset about Lamar's attendance numbers during OTAs, and I'm not here to tell anybody how they should feel about that. Me personally, I stick to the word voluntary. It's voluntary. And I don't get caught up in attendance in this time of year. For certain guys especially, I'm just not moved. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lose sleep over a two-time MVP, reigning MVP, for missing voluntary practices in May. I'm not going to lose sleep over a guy like Derrick Henry for missing voluntary practices in the month of May. I'm not losing sleep over Justin Madubuike, who's coming off the best year of his career, for missing voluntary practices in the month of May. I'm just not. I'm sorry. Because when we get to September, when we get to October, when we get to the dog days of the season in November and December and into the playoffs in January, I can't ever name a time where we went back and talked about what guys did or didn't do in the month of May and how that contributed to what they did in the course of the season. Now, what I will do is acknowledge the optics of it all. Sure, it doesn't look good that the face of your franchise isn't at these workouts because he's the leader. He sets the tone. And to be honest with you, when Lamar's not there, the quarterback play has been pitiful. It's been downright pitiful. I feel bad for the receivers and even for the DBs. It's like, how much stock can you put into what you're doing when you know you're not going up against competent quarterback play, or at least quarterback play for this level? So I hear all that, but I'm sorry, optics don't win you championships. And I don't believe showing up to OTAs or not showing up to OTAs is the end all be all when it comes to reaching your final goal. I just don't. This is the time of year where, you know, it's not a lot going on anyway. They're not in pads. They didn't even have helmets on yesterday. And I don't want to discount what you get from showing up to OTAs. Like, I understand what all goes into the game of football. I understand that as much as you can be there, you should. But I also understand that just because guys aren't at OTAs doesn't mean they're not working. I don't think that because Lamar's not at OTAs that he's sitting at home getting fat on the couch. Clearly, he's not getting fat. Clearly. I don't think just because Derrick Henry's not at OTAs that, you know, he's not in some sort of capacity working on his game. And look, even if he's not, if he decided to take a family vacation, it's May. Why? Like, I'm just not moved by that. I just wanted to get that part out of the way. Other than that, OTAs have kind of just been what it is. You're getting a look right now at some of the new guys. That's kind of what I get out of OTAs. I want to see some of the guys I haven't seen before. So obviously that means some of the rookies. Tez Walker, he made a couple of plays yesterday. It was good to see him because he's a guy that I feel like, and when you talk about this rookie class, he has an avenue to kind of be one of those instant contributors. And I'm not talking about being what Zay Flowers was for the Ravens last year. No, when I say instant contributor, I mean having an instant role. And his role could be to be that guy to take the top off the defense on schedule. On schedule is the pivotal part that I want to mention, because I think the Ravens passing game in general, if they want to take that next step, the on schedule passing game is going to be a big part of that. So I think Tez Walker has an avenue to give them kind of what they're missing with their receiving core and taking the top off the defense on a consistent basis. I like what I'm seeing from Nate Wiggins. His size is a little worrisome, but at corner, it doesn't bother me. He's got the speed. He has good hands. He's learning. TJ Tampa, I like his physicality as well at the corner position. He's got the body size to be able to play that way. So I'm curious to see what type of preseason he has. because I think he could be the guy to kind of throw a wrench into the plans for this DB room. He's kind of the wild card in my mind going into the preseason. The offensive line, it's just tough to get a really good look at a lot of those guys. They're not in pass. They're not doing a lot right now. It's not a lot of contact that they want them to have in the trenches right now. So I kind of like to wait until the pads are on to start really paying attention to those guys. But what I am looking for is just, are you in shape? Like, can you handle what's going on? And yesterday was a tough day for a guy like Daniel Faalele. It just was tough for him to just stay engaged and to stay on his feet, to be quite honest. So obviously it's getting to summertime, it's getting hotter, it's getting humid. So that I'm sure is something that he's battling. He's a big guy. But that's kind of what I'm looking for when I look at the trenches. Trenton Simpson, we got to talk to him yesterday. He's a fantastic speaker, got a good head on his shoulders, seems very mature. He's playing fast. I like what I've seen so far, but if you've listened to me going back to last season, you know I've been kind of skeptical that Trenton Simpson is going to have the impact that a lot of people think that he will. I don't know. I mean, Patrick Queen turned out to be a three-down linebacker last season. Is Trenton Simpson going to be that for the Ravens this year? We'll see, but OTAs is kind of just surface level stuff right now. And they've got one more tomorrow before mandatory minicamp starts next week. So we're starting to ramp it up here and get a better look at this year's Baltimore Ravens team. Coming up next here, my guy Kyle Goon, he covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. He's been out at OTAs. We'll talk to him about a little bit of what he's seen to this point. What is his thoughts on whether or not OTA should even still be a thing going forward? Maybe we'll talk some Orioles with him as well, as he's out at Camden Yards from time to time. How does he feel about this red hot Orioles team? We'll talk to him about all that and more next here on The Fan.